Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. The critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There's only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
7:03 on this Saturday morning, Sports Hub Golf Club. My name is Hardy. Thanks for joining us, as always, as we're jam-packed this morning, truly. Matt Parziali, the Brockton firefighter, and now Masters veteran. And I say that not entirely tongue-in-cheek, because as we'll find out this morning, Matt got a chance to play down at Augusta, not just for rounds one and two last week. Matt has been going down there for a while now in terms of practice rounds, and he's really gotten his way around that course. So we'll talk with Matt and kind of recap his Masters experience coming up here in a few minutes. Also, I am very excited that this morning we're kind of introducing like a new partnership, relationship, friendship with a place that I've already visited once, and I don't want to say too much about it. But a gentleman by the name of Bill McInerney, who he and I have probably met before, we even met before last week, or at least bumped into each other here or there, because Bill's been around the game of golf for a long time. He's got a very impressive pedigree, and he is now at a place called the Core Golf Center in Natick. And I went out and visited the Core Golf Center last Saturday after the show. And again, I don't want to get into it right now. I don't want to talk about it too much until Bill joins us here in about another 15 minutes or so. But everything you know about practicing and honing your skills and working at your game is about to change when we start talking about Core Golf in Natick. So we'll get to that in a few more minutes when Bill McInerney joins us live here in studio on the Sports Hub Golf Club. I want to start with a bit of a Masters recap this morning and really talking about essentially the story within the story. I wrote about it on the station website, and I don't think this is a unique thought, but as I was watching the final round, a couple of things occurred to me as it was going on. And number one is the fact that Patrick Reed played so well and so steady, and is such a deserving champion based on the way he played all four rounds at Augusta. So first and foremost, congratulations to Patrick Reed. Number two, the old adage that the Masters begins on the back nine on Sunday held up. It doesn't always. Sometimes you look at it and say, you know what? On years when Tiger had the 36 or 54 hole lead, no, that tournament was over early on Saturday. You know, Jordan Spieth, when he won it a few years ago, that tournament was over on Friday. This year, the tournament began on the back nine on Sunday. And that's when we saw Jordan Spieth make his run, saw Ricky Fowler make his run, and Patrick Reed did what he had to do. He made a bunch of pars, made a couple of timely birdies, and held it together and shot a 71, which was the highest of his four rounds. But as I've learned over the years, as Hank Haney talked about in his book about Tiger, about the big miss, a winning by one is still winning. And if you formulate your game plan to win by a stroke, it makes no difference in the history books whether you win by 10, whether you lap the field, or whether you win by one. As a matter of fact, I'm convinced that he played his game to do just that. I'm just going to go out there and win. And I think if Patrick Reed keeps this together in terms of this type of philosophy and this type of game, he's got a lot more wins and more majors in him, because it's better to win 10 majors by one stroke than one major by 10 strokes. And it seems to me that's the way it's going. But that's also the way the game of golf is going, based on the parity at the cream of the crop, the best of the best right now, which leads us to, I think, the story within the story. So Patrick Reed is, of course, your Masters champion. Congratulations. It reminded me of the movie Without Limits about Steve Prefontaine, distance runner, Oregon. Our producer, Kristen Sherman, is looking at me like I got horns growing out of my head. Kristen, it's a Billy Crudup film. Donald Sutherland plays Bill Bowerman, the legendary track and field coach. You don't know who Donald Sutherland is?
Not a clue.
McCarthy.
Have you watched, I mean, it's not going to be his movie, but have you watched Pride and Prejudice? He's at least in that. I mean, listen, I'm not, you know, suggesting that's the Donald Sutherland movie, but
McCarthy,
he's in that.
Have you seen Without Limits, the Steve Prefontaine movie?
I do know who Donald Sutherland is.
Okay. I love you both, but useless.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
The two of you. at some point in this movie, Steve Prefontaine, who is this legendary distance runner, he goes to the Olympics, and he's running his race. I think it was the 5,000 meter or whatever the hell it was. But he ends up, I mean, he's leading for portions of the race. This guy was a front runner, and then he falls back, and he pushes the other guys to win. Falls out. I don't even think he placed, right? And the announcer in the film, portraying the Olympics announcer, says, one man made the race, another man won it. That's what happened with the Masters on Sunday. Between Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth, they made the tournament, but another guy won it. Jordan Spieth's final round, I'm not a huge Jordan Spieth fan.
Awesome.
I know you love him.
No, it was awesome, his final round.
His final round was fantastic, but quite frankly, just from a fan perspective, it's difficult for me to relate to a guy who is damn near perfect. I liked him a lot better when he dumped two into Ray's Creek a couple years ago, and he showed a human element to him. Between him and Justin Thomas, I mean, these are the closest things I've seen to a swing robot to Ping Man that I've seen in years. I mean, these guys are phenomenal. But it's hard for me to kind of attach myself to it in any way. You know what? I find myself gravitating toward the likes of Dustin Johnson. Here's a flawed guy.
Oh, yeah.
Here's somebody falling down the stairs the night before a tournament and ruining his chances before it starts like he did last year at the Masters. That I can relate to. Patrick Reed, we'll get to more in a moment. Him I can relate to. I can't relate to a guy like Jordan Spieth or Justin Thomas, who have been a world-class player since the time they were 13 years old. But Jordan Spieth, with an absolutely phenomenal round. And I'll tell you one thing about Jordan Spieth on the 18th, and we had a big argument about this on Monday, where somebody said he choked on the 18th hole. And I slammed my hand down the table. I said, I don't think he choked. I think the tee shot that Jordan Spieth hit on the 72nd hole was exactly what he wanted to hit.
What? He wanted to hit the tree?
The tee shot that he hit on 18 is the exact shot he wanted to hit. He thought it would clear that last limb. He had done it 2 days before. You don't think Jordan Spieth can put the ball exactly where he wants to? He put the ball exactly where he wanted to. And furthermore, the second shot that he hit is 300 yards away. He gets real close with the second shot. He hits his approach. All right, so now he's got a chance to roll this thing in and save a phenomenal par to maybe have a chance at a playoff with whoever else is going to be left. Ricky Fowler at that point and Patrick Reed, had he not made it to 15 under par. The putt that he rolled on 18, and this is going to blow your mind, he made that putt. It just didn't go in.
Now, My mind is blown.
This is a Dr. Joseph Parent-ism, where he talks about making every putt. I'm convinced that Jordan Spieth made his putt. He hit the speed he wanted. He hit it on the line he wanted. He did everything he wanted to do. Just didn't fall in. This is where it gets kind of zen. But for Jordan Spieth, I applaud him for the way he played that final round. And even, as crazy as it may sound, the way he played that final hole. It didn't work out for him, but he was doing everything he had to do to put himself in a position to make birdie on 18. It didn't work out. He ends up finishing third, which, a phenomenal effort. A guy who's won it before probably feels he came up way short. But I thought it was impressive. I mean, when you've got a par putt to tie the low round in tournament play at the Masters, I don't know how you can really say anything bad about the guy. You can make the argument that he choked, but I don't think it was a choke. I think he truly thought that ball was going to clear that last limb, and he hit it right where he wanted to.
And not to say what's the difference if he hits that par putt or not, but he needed birdie on that final hole to truly put pressure on Reed. I mean, he had already put all kinds of pressure on him, but he needed birdie on that hole. And when he hit that tree on that tee shot, when he hit that final limb, It's basically over.
It's basically over.
It's basically over for him.
Based on the way that Patrick Reed was playing. Now, very quickly, we're not going to have a ton of time to get into this morning, but yesterday, and Chad Finn was not the first to write about this, but he was the latest. Chad Finn wrote yesterday why CBS chose to ignore Masters champion Patrick Reed's controversial background. Now, Reed does have a history. Written about it. We talked about it last week on the show. You know, allegations of cheating. And that is the one thing that you can't do in this game. And, you know, players have done it. Men have done it. Women have done it. We've seen a couple of instances in the last couple of years. In order for me to remain consistent, I got to say, no, I got no time for that. And I don't. However, it's not like he was actually busted for it. The big cheating allegation with Patrick Reed was in a collegiate round when he walks up to his ball in the rough and he's preparing to hit it. And one of his teammates, not an opponent, but a teammate said, "Hey, Patrick, are you sure that's your ball? I think yours was a little further in." He says, "Oh, that's not my ball." And then he walked over and played the correct ball. In the overall scheme of cheating in sports, I don't know that this is going to open up a portal to hell and suck him down, okay? There are levels here, so that's number one. Number two, for Chad or any other commentator, any guy like myself to say that, you know, CBS and the Masters, they really did a disservice by not mentioning, you know, the cheating allegations and how he's estranged from his parents and all this stuff as he's coming down the stretch. Do you really think there's time for that? And believe me, I'm all about doing stuff to make people uncomfortable and, oh, there's a time and a place for that. Nonsense. If it's the story, you talk about it. That wasn't the story. No. The story was, here's a guy who's about to win his first major championship in the biggest major of the year. Sorry, U.S. Open. Masters still has it over you in terms of what grabs the attention of the casual golf fan. And to think that Jim Nance or anybody else was somehow going to shoehorn in, here he comes, Patrick Reed, with another stellar round today. You know, he hasn't talked to his parents in 5 years. You know, they're down the street right now watching the tournament, bawling their eyes out because his wife allegedly cut off all contact with the family. How do you work that into the commentary as he's walking up 18? You know, they do whip around coverage of that tournament, and I think they cover it really, really well, even with the restrictions that the gentlemen of Augusta put on the tournament. They still do a hell of a job, and they've got a lot of content. They've got the guys all over the course. They may not be in contention, but you want to see what guys are doing who may not win this thing. At what point do you have time to fit in the story and tell the story? And, oh, by the way, nobody really knows why he doesn't talk to his parents anymore. Do you just want to throw it out there? Do you just want to toss that grenade in the room and then run away? If you're not prepared to really talk about it, don't talk about it.
And as a golf fan, I don't care. I mean, I hate to sound callous. Like, not to say I don't care about the relationship with him and his parents, but in that moment, I don't. I'm watching a guy who carried the U.S. to the Ryder Cup last year go out and win his first major. You think that's what I'm thinking about as a golf fan in that moment?
Probably not.
No.
All right. Already on Twitter this morning, Miles with his early tea time, listening to the show in the car. Thank you very much. Pete's listening. Scott on Twitter says, sick pre-reference. That's Steve Prefontaine's nickname, pre. What are you guys thinking about that? And thank you to Sean, who's driving to his 7:45 tea time and listening to the show on the radio. He's declaring winter is officially over. You know what? It is time. It's time to play, and more importantly, it's time to practice and try and get a little better at this game. There's a gentleman from a golf facility that's going to join us next that is going to change the way we think and do things with this game, especially on this show this season on the Sports Hub Golf Club. Bill McInerney from Core Golf joins us next.
Getting you ready to hit the links. It's the Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, joining us now in the Sports Hub Golf Club, the gentleman's name is Bill McInerney. He's from Core Golf. That is K-O-H-R Golf. I visited this facility last Saturday. And we're going to talk about it here, but this is going to change the way a lot of people think about their game and how they work on it. And Bill, first of all, thank you for being on the show. I think Bill's mic is on. There it is. Bill, how are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
Good. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to embarrass you. Bill is last year, top 50 elite junior golf coaches in the U.S. He's been named Golf Digest one of the best teachers in the state. Award after award, top 50 golf instructor in America from Golf Range Magazine, New England Monthly, top 25 best golf instructors in New England, regional coach of the year for the NCAA in 2005-2006 season. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And Bill, I've seen a little bit of what you've done and some of the people that you've worked with. So first of all, thanks for being on the show. And
thanks for the intro.
And yeah, well, I mean, this guy's legit. And so you are one of the co-founders of Core Golf.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So how does this start? Because you've obviously been in golf your entire life, and you decide that something different needs to happen. So tell me about like the genesis, how this all began at Core Golf.
So I've been teaching over 20 years. My father played on tour, was pretty much born into the game. Fell in love with coaching when I realized that I actually couldn't play the game that well. And I'd be out on the golf course trying to help people as opposed to trying to win tournaments. Probably not a very good combination.
Helping out your opponents.
Yeah, when I see them struggling, thinking more about them than I'm thinking about me. But started an academy about 15 years ago. Really was driven to help kids succeed, and not only on in a golfing level, but in terms of maturity and development and just being a good person and knowing what golf can actually bring to a person throughout their life really kind of inspired me. And it kind of morphed into me developing this golf academy. And in that, over time, I envisioned a facility that was built to house players of all levels, from beginner golfers to elite golfers, a place that's incredibly fun for people to learn the game and incredibly efficient for elite players to develop their skills and perform at the highest level. So I've kind of had this vision in my mind for, you know, over a decade, and the piece of land came to me. Someone said that there was this piece of land, and you know, it just kind of came to fruition when I had a lot of people helping me out and knowing what I was doing with the academy kids.
So this piece of land that we're talking about, I was there years ago. It was just a driving range in Natick off of Speen Street.
Yeah.
Right? So what was the name of it before?
I think Natick Driving Range.
Natick, or, yeah, like like something inconsequential and substantial. It was like fine to, you know, like, you know, bang a bucket of balls. But, you know, I think you're talking about something here, Bill, in that when you're learning the game of golf, or if you've already achieved a certain level, the worst place to work on your game is the golf course. It is, I believe, the worst place to first of all, learn the game. You know, you can't go out there and learn how to swing a golf club on the golf course. There's a time for that, and I think sometimes kids are kept away from the course for too long. But when you're talking about the basics, and you're talking about, you know, real instruction, you can't do it. It's not practical to do it on a golf course. You got people in front of you. You got people behind you. Mm-hmm. It's really tough to teach and to really focus in on skills on the golf course. So that's one side of it. All right, can't do it there. How about a standard driving range? We've all been to the range. Everybody loves to go bang a bucket of balls. If you're literally just doing that on a range with a huge open expanse in front of you, and you're just banging ball after ball after ball, I am walking testimony to the fact that that does not work, because I've been doing it for 20 years and my game has not gotten any better. I like it. It's fun. I like to hit a few shots, but I don't see how this actually improves the game. So what you've built and are building, I mean, I was there last weekend and it's gorgeous already, but to see what's going to be happening there in the near future, at Core Golf is a place to work on every facet of your game.
Yep. So, absolutely.
So talk to me a little bit about it. There's a range area,
yep,
but there's a lot more than that.
Yep. So when I first went over to the facility, when it was Natick Golf Center or whatever it was basically a big hole. You know, you could hit a 7-iron and not even see the ball land. So I kind of saw this as an opportunity to, you know, basically bring in some fill and create whatever we wanted to create. The border of the facility is surrounded by rock ledge and You know, it's just like a beautiful shaped facility. So we hired a guy named Kyle Franz, who's one of the top, I think, 25 or 50 best young golf course architects in the country. And he's a really good friend of mine, and he's the man when it comes to building facilities. So I basically literally drew out what I had envisioned on a piece of paper, and he said, I got it, and he shaped it and basically built one of the most beautiful practice facilities that I've ever seen. You know, I've had an opportunity to travel around the country and look at pretty much every great facility and tried to basically take the best of all those facilities and bring it into one facility. And we created these greens with the help of my business partner, Oliver Siegel, and Kyle, and help from a bunch of other people. Daniel Boisvert, who's my one of my head instructors, he put a lot into it as well. And we just created a whole bunch of different shots that great players can hit, beginners can hit. So these approach shot targets that we have a short game facility that you can hit 100-yard wedges into. We have a fairway bunker that you can hit hybrids out of. And we have, you know, higher lips where you can hit short irons out of. So we've really tried to recreate every single shot that you might experience on the golf course, which is pretty unique at a so-called driving range.
Sure. Bill McInerney here from Core Golf. It's K-O-H-R Golf in Natick. So on the quote-unquote range portion of the facility, I couldn't count myself. How many different target greens are there out there?
So we have 14 target greens, 18 pins. So you could actually conceivably go out and almost play like a little mini round of golf there, which is kind of nice because, you know, nowadays a golf round could take, you know, 5 to 6 hours, and yeah, you're basically planning a day around it, where you could come out here and, you know, almost like a little mini round of golf with your buddies. You know, the great thing about the facility is that you could move from location to location and you're almost experiencing different shots all together. And that's kind of the uniqueness of this facility. Whereas you go to a typical driving range, it's just an open field with a couple pins out there. So no matter where you're hitting, you get the same experience. But at our facility, you get a different experience every time you come if you're moving around from bay to bay.
All right. If that were all it was, it would be innovative and awesome. The fact that you have at least two different short game areas to work on. There's one green that I saw itself, but there's another portion with a series of two or three greens. What is that? I didn't even get a chance to really get into that part of the facility.
That piece of the facility was kind of my dream come true for the Academy kids. You know, trying to build an area for the more elite player, or not even that, just the person that's really serious about getting better at golf. We have basically a private membership area / Academy area that we have. And in that area, you can, you know, we built two greens, one on a little bit elevated, one lower, so you can hit low bump and run shots, high soft shots, you can hit 60-yard bunker shots, 100-yard wedge shots. And in our membership, we actually have all our coaches going out there and giving these members what we call open practice sessions. So, like, we don't necessarily go out and teach them the 6-7-step golf swing. We're actually teaching them how to practice and use the space efficiently so that they can improve their game.
See, and this is where I think it appeals to me. I think it appeals to a lot of people. Hardy, you want to sign up for 5 lessons? No, thanks. I really, you know, I need to be there at the same time every week, and it's just what I think I want is a place where I can go work on my game and have somebody like you or one of the other instructors walk by and say, "Hey, ding dong, perhaps you should keep your head down through the shot, and you won't find yourself sculling the balls up there on the green." Just, I mean, every once in a while, just a quick little tip, because what do we talk about when we get instruction? The best lesson I ever got, you know, and for me, it's like the best lesson I ever got was on a driving range in Las Vegas when an instructor walked by and said, why don't you try and tuck your right hand near your right ear at the top of your backswing and see if that fixes your hook. Boom! I go out that day and no more snap hook for, you know, 2 hours.
Yep.
You know, it's like things like that. But if you can have that on a consistent basis, like you said, with a membership there, or just, you know, someone going up there to get some, if you want to do a more, formal type of relationship with an instructor, you can have that,
too.
Oh,
we have that, yeah. I mean, we got some of the best young instructors in the country, Chris Howley, Daniel Boisvert. They're unbelievable instructors. Spencer Sotel, who teaches our youngsters program, he's amazing with kids, so getting kids into the game of golf. I mean, it's really the type of facility that is meant to literally grow the game, bring more people into golf. We just started our we became a first tee affiliate with the Massachusetts Golf Association, and that was kind of a dream come true of mine. It's because I'm really passionate about trying to bring people into the game of golf, youngsters, adults, because I know what golf can offer people of all levels, really. I mean, just in terms of development, or in terms of generating business leads, or just enjoying your partner out of a golf course.
Right.
You know, it's an amazing game.
Okay, so you guys are going to have a fitness studio there, number one, for, you know, people who like to, quote-unquote, work out.
Yep, Andrew Wester's our fitness trainer. He's a very smart young man.
Huge component of the game now.
Yeah.
So you got that. We've got the 14 to 18 target greens out there on the quote-unquote range.
Yep.
We've got the short game area where you can chip, putt, hit flop shots, bunkers, all like simulating, you know, shots you would get in and around the greens on the golf course. And we're not going to have time to get to everything this morning. The fitting studio is the nicest fitting studio I've ever seen in my life.
It's amazing. Yeah, Glenn Sutton, it was kind of his vision to build this fitting studio. It's called Cool Clubs, which, I to be quite honest with you, I wasn't 100% fan of the whole new age fitting systems until I actually went out and visited the home base of Cool Clubs out in Arizona, and I was 100% blown away with this company. And I went back and told Glenn, I was like, this is an amazing idea that you have, and I feel like you're gonna crush it. You know, you're gonna help people become better golfers. I'm all in. So he decided to put up the building there, and he's killing it.
Well,
he's probably now one of the best fitters I've seen.
And it's like TrackMan on steroids out there. I saw a guy. I mean, saw a guy getting fit out there, and I'm like, well, you know, good for him. He's going to be approaching a level of this game far greater than I will ever achieve. But it's not just for that elite player. If there's anything I've learned over the years of doing this show, is getting fit for clubs is maybe the best thing you can do for your game. So it doesn't matter what level you're at. If you can get fit.
Yeah, it really is. It makes the game a lot easier, believe me.
It's going to change your game. But this whole facility is a quote-unquote game changer. It's called Core Golf. Bill McInerney is CEO, co-founder, Core Golf Center. Where do people get more information, Bill? How do they kind of, you know, start on this journey? You can just go out and visit, and you can go on their website.
Yeah, come on, see me. I'm there every day, all day, and, you know, our coaches are there. We can go to corehgolf.com. It's spelled K-O-H-R, K-O-H-R-golf.com, and you got to come out and see us. I mean, the place is awesome, and we'll help you love the game of golf, and you will develop a passion for practicing there, believe me.
218 Speen Street in Natick, Core Golf, K-O-H-R, coregolf.com. Very quickly, final minute here. I saw you working with a group of junior players when I was there last week. Yeah. You want a minute to brag on some of the kids because they're already reached some pretty impressive levels, some of the kids you've coached.
Absolutely. Yeah, no question about it. I've basically, the coaches in the academy have developed these kids to pretty much win at every single level. You know, we help them get into college. We have this whole college recruiting process that we go through. And, you know, they're basically, we teach them how to become process orientated, not worry too much about winning. But in that, they end up winning a lot of tournaments. So they're amazing kids. I'm incredibly lucky. And I just, you know, work is home for me. So, I love it. And now that we have this new facility, it's unreal. And these kids, man, they like to practice before, but let me tell you, they don't leave. Like, they love this place.
I didn't want to leave last week when
like
I was
kids
there.
Kids in a candy store, I'll tell you.
And that's the great thing about this place. It's about for the kids who are going on to play at high-level collegiate programs and take the next step. And for, you know, hypothetically, a 40-something-year-old guy who just doesn't want to embarrass himself on the golf course, I think either person's going to feel equally at home.
Even a housewife that's, you know, really intimidated to get into the game of golf. You know, we have very short targets, and it's just a really nice, relaxed environment to get introduced to the game of golf.
All right, Bill McInerney. We're going to be seeing a lot more of you and talking a lot more of you this season, so I appreciate it. Core Golf, coregolf.com. Matt Parziali, Brockton firefighter, played in the Masters. Chance to talk to him before his tournament began last week, and a chance to talk to him earlier after the tournament was over. We'll hear from Matt next.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
Joining us now, as promised, Matt Parziali, who finished off last week at the Masters, and we got a chance to talk to him before he started there. Now we're talking to him after. Matt, thanks for being back on the show. How you doing?
No problem. I'm doing well. Just got home a couple days ago and here for a couple days and heading out again. So good to be back for a little bit.
We talked the Saturday before the tournament, or at some point, I don't know. The days, I'm telling you that the days are all running together. I'm sure for you it's been an absolute blur, but let's just kind of take it step by step here. The first thing that happened after I talked to you, I guess that would be noteworthy, is the fact that you played a practice round with Tiger Woods in the days leading up to the tournament. How was that?
Yeah, I played with him on Wednesday. We played nine holes together. That was a great day. And then I played the par three just after that. So we had been talking about it for a couple months now, and there was some weather coming through, so we didn't know if it was going to happen, but it all worked out, and we had a great time. He was great to play with, helped me out with the course, and just great to talk to, too. So we had a lot of fun, and Freddie was the third, so a pretty good threesome for me.
Now that part I didn't know. See, every like 5 minutes, there's something new we found out about you. So Fred Couples was the third in your practice round with you, Tiger Woods, and Boom Boom?
Yeah, that was the three of us. I guess Freddie and Tiger were playing quite a bit because Tiger's caddy Joey was previously worked for Fred for 20 years. So I've been texting Tiger's caddy about this practice round, so I'm glad it all worked out.
Yeah, Couples seems like a really high-intensity, real hard-ass type of dude, huh?
Yeah, exactly. You nailed it. No, he's incredible. And just watching his swing in person, it's timeless. It's so fun to watch, and just to see the way he plays that golf course. He's been doing well there for so long. So it was a lot of fun to watch those guys out there.
Now, here's the other weirdest thing that happened, is the fact that on the show a couple of weeks ago, I had you and one other player who was playing in the Masters, Brendan Steele, who I know a little bit. And come to find out, you two not only were paired together in Thursday and Friday's rounds, but you guys have played like practice rounds before that. Like, you know Brendan.
Yeah, so Brendan's probably the only person that I semi-knew going in, just because of the mutual friends. He's really good friends with Keegan and John. So we played a practice round a couple weeks ago, and then we also played Tuesday nine holes. And then as soon as we got done with our nine holes on Tuesday, the pairings came out. We're walking off the ninth green and said, hey, we're playing together. So that was great. It was great to have someone that I was familiar with out there. I wish our whole group could have played better, but we all kind of just struggled and never really got anything going.
Well, I'm glad you got some time with Tiger and Freddie, and Brendan Steele's a great guy. So let's talk a little bit about your rounds one and two. It's Matt Parziali, the Brockton firefighter, the U.S. Mid-Amateur champion from last year, and played at Augusta, was invited to the Masters, because it's not all bad, man. I mean, let's be honest. Through five holes in the first round on Thursday, you're even par. You opened up with a bogey, you bogeyed at three, back-to-back birdies at four and five. Are you thinking at that point, hey, what's so tough about this game? I can do this. You know, I'm even through five in the first round at the Masters.
You know, I hit a really good drive on one, and I was pretty disappointed with the iron shot I hit in there. Thought I hit a good chip and then didn't make the putt. And then the third hole, I kind of messed up. I hit it in the left rough and didn't have that good of a line. Took a pretty bad line in there and ended up hitting over the green and making bogey. But during those first three holes, I almost birdied two. I was hitting good shots, and I felt good out there. And then I was fortunate enough to hit two close on four and five and make the four-footer and probably six-footer on five. But, you know, yeah, I felt great, and I felt great after that. It just the seventh hole kind of got me both days, where I hit a bad tee shot and didn't really recover well and ended up making double. And you can't make those out there. I'd say the seventh hole both days, and then the 12th hole the first days, were really the only holes I was pretty upset about the way I hit the shots in there.
I feel like seven is one of those holes at the Masters that, you know, as fans, as people who only get to watch it on TV, is one of the holes we know the least about.
It's just a really tough driving hole. And Tiger and I were talking about that out there. He said his first year, he used to just tee as high as he could on that hole and hit it anywhere because there's only one or two trees down there. Now there's probably 50 or 60 trees, that, maybe not that many, but quite a few trees on each side. But you need to really, you have to hit a demanding drive. And unfortunately, I hit one just a little left the first day and a little right the second day and had to pitch out both times. It made a mess from there, the pitch out as well. But if I hit a good drive, it could have been could have maybe got some momentum going into the back nine.
All right. Well, let's jump ahead to the next day, round two. You know, you're out there, you're doing your thing. You know at this point that it's probably not looking like you're going to make the cut. And then along comes the 13th hole, the par five. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of the same thing the first day where I was going along okay and then had some bad holes in the middle. But I was never upset. I was just trying to hit good shots. And then on 13, I hit a really good drive, maybe one of the best I hit all week. Got it turned around the corner, and I had a 7-iron into that front pin. And when I hit it, I knew it was probably going to be the right yardage. And I was fortunate enough that it was able to stop pretty close because a lot of the balls were landing near the pin and rolling out. So I had about 12 feet with some break on it, but I hit a good putt there, and I was fortunate enough for it to go in. And I get to take a little something from Augusta now. We'll get the couple crystal glasses there.
Yeah, so everybody who makes an eagle during the Masters gets – this commemorative, what are they?
So I had no idea even about it until I made it in Mike Ware said, you got some crystal for you, and I didn't really understand what he was talking about. And then Steely came over, and he goes, hey, you know you get some crystal for that. So I guess it's a couple crystal glasses. Pretty bad on my end not knowing about that before. But and then on 15, the funny thing is I had it probably 35 feet, and I gave it a run because I wanted some more glasses. He ended up three-putting, so... it was great to find out that, and you know, that those last six holes, I was happy with the way I played. I had birdie chances on all the holes coming in and hit some good shots, so at least I left with somewhat of a good taste after a pretty bad 30 holes to start the tournament.
Are you kidding? You played the last six holes and two under par. I mean, and making a par at 18, that was tough. I mean, we saw what happened to Jordan Spieth. Now, I'll give him credit. He was trying to hit a shot and put himself in position, but that, you know, that chute that you got to drive through on 18 is just treacherous.
Yeah, it's a tight little, it's a tight tee shot, but once you get up there, it's not too bad. It's just a matter of getting up to have a mid-iron in, and my drive, I shot a really good drive there, and I couldn't believe it ended up in the bunker, and I was able to get an 8-iron out of the bunker, which is a pretty big lip, and I thought I made the putt. I hit a great putt from about 15, 20 feet, and just stayed on the edge, but all in all, it was so great to compete with those guys and play. I felt great out there. Just that's why I was a little frustrated with the scores I shot.
Now, Matt, I don't think you need to worry about it because everybody thought it was so great that you were playing there in the first place. And I think you represented very well. The birdies on Thursday, the eagle on Friday, like you said, parring the last five holes of your tournament. Now, you got a chance to play down there several times as warm-ups. When you're leaving Augusta, did they say, hey, come back anytime?
You know, I met so many great members down there. Maybe there's a chance they'll have me back one of the days.
Well, Matt, it's been a great ride. We loved watching you, and I'm sure we're going to be watching you a lot more, whether it's in amateur competitions, maybe back at the Masters, wherever it is. Now you got a huge fan base in Boston, and I think really all over the world. The coverage that you got was phenomenal. Very, very deserving of it, Matt, and great job representing, you know, Boston and Brockton, everybody at the Masters. It was really fun to watch. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Everyone was great with the support, you guys and everyone here. And you know what? You're right. All over the world, I was getting texts from other people. So it's been fun, and we're gonna get ready for the U.S. Open for the next one. So it's going to be a fun year.
Matt Parziali, appreciate you taking the time once again. We'll talk to you again.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's Hardy.
All right, wrapping things up here on the Sports Hub Golf Club. A couple of notes to get to here. First of all,
Darren on Twitter saying that the Jared Leto, Steve Prefontaine movie is better than the Billy Crudup version. Come on. Come on. I mean, we're going to have to agree to disagree on that one. Second of all, longtime friend of the Sports Hub Golf Club, Paul Gusbeckian from Equinox. He'll be back on the show here in the coming weeks. And Caitlin Sharpless, who we now know as Caitlin Pimentel, recently featured in Golf Digest with a really cool column and a really cool thing about a better cardio exercise. I believe it's called Ditch the Treadmill. Here's a better cardio routine for golf. So if you go back, I believe, one issue before the current one, you'll see Caitlin in there, and you've heard Caitlin here on the show. And Caitlin's going to be back on, too, as we try and get ourselves in a little bit of golfing shape for this season. And no, that is not a contradiction in terms. There is such thing as being in at least better shape to play golf than probably what you are right now after months of not playing golf. Now, the fact that we're playing golf and people are going to be playing golf today, I've heard from so many people on Twitter this morning on their way to their tee times today. This is exciting stuff.
Finally.
I myself going to be playing later today. Granted, I thought it was going to be 70, according to the forecast earlier in the week, and I was way more excited about it on Monday than I was, say, last night when I see, 47 when we tee off now. All right, that's fine. 47 I can do. I haven't played since Thanksgiving. It's the last time I hit a golf ball on a golf course. So, that's later today. And I just got a message on Twitter from a guy, and feel free to send me all this stuff. Guy named Michael Hughes, who is the course super at Whitensville Golf Course, said that the Golf Week Top 100 Classic American Courses list came out yesterday, and that Whitensville Golf Course is listed at number 72. This is a 9-hole golf course in Whitensville. But I was out there years ago for the show, and I have to say, I didn't see a blade of grass out of place. Not so much as one sprig of clover anywhere. This course was so finely maintained. I got a chance to play it. Gorgeous conditions, so congratulations to the guys out at Whitensville. Look, you've been given props, accolades for your golf course, for your teaching academy, whatever. Let me know about it. I'll pump it up. Love talking about it. Love talking with Bill McInerney from Core Golf earlier today. Talk about an instructor with some accolades. And Core Golf is going to be a place you're going to be hearing a lot about here on the golf show this year. 218 Speen Street, I should say, in Natick. Go to Core Golf. That is K-O-H-R, coregolf.com. Find out more about this place. Go see it for yourself. It is going to change the way you think about practicing and getting better at your game and improving. And you can just go there and visit. You can get a membership there. You can supplement your other golf course memberships with a place to just practice and work on your game in a variety of different ways. So get used to hearing about Core Golf this season on the Sports Hub Golf Club. So I want to thank Bill McInerney for being on the show. I want to thank Matt Parziali, who we just talked to a couple of minutes ago, represented very well at the Masters. Got a chance to play with Tiger Woods and Freddie Boom Boom Couples in a practice round.
It's unbelievable. That's awesome.
And now Matt's going to be playing in the U.S. Open. I mean, this is a great story for fans of golf in and around Boston. Brockton firefighter playing at the Masters, now going on to play in the U.S. Open. So we'll be talking with Matt again. Thank you to Kristen, our producer here this morning. Ryan Johnston lurking about. He'll be taking over right after Matt McCarthy in the Hub headlines here. In the meantime, if you want to get at me during the week, at Hardy985 on Twitter, at SportsHubGC on Twitter. Ryan Johnston coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.